Welcome to Sleep with Rockstars, the Gen X Sleep Podcast, because you deserve a good night's sleep, or whatever. I'm Sloane Spencer. In each Sleep with Rockstars Sleep Podcast, I will read from Wikipedia about your favorite Gen X musicians and bands. If this podcast helps you relax and fall asleep, please leave a 5-star rating and a kind review in your favorite podcast app. You may find that the more you listen, the more your mind will begin to associate these stories with sleep. So feel free to return to each episode again and again. Repetition can help create a signal to your brain that it's time to rest. And if the musical act isn't your favorite, that's perfectly okay. You don't need to pay close attention. Instead, let the words wash over you. Let their rhythm and softness lull you, not for interest, but for sleep. You're not here to be entertained. You're here to let go. Now let your breath guide you deeper into stillness. Take a moment to settle in. Gently close your eyes and let your body begin to rest. There's nowhere you need to be, nothing you need to do. This is your time, a time to let go of the day, unwind, and allow your mind to slow down. With each breath in, invite calm. With each breath out, release the tension as your body begins to soften into the surface beneath you. Imagine a gentle wave of warmth from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, carrying away the weight of the day. This evening, I will read about R.E.M. R.E.M. was an American alternative rock band formed in Athens, Georgia in 1980 by drummer Bill Berry, guitarist Peter Buck, bassist Mike Mills, and lead vocalist Michael Stipe, who were students at the University of Georgia. One of the first alternative rock bands, R.E.M. was noted for Buck's ringing arpeggiated guitar playing, Stipe's distinctive vocal quality, unique stage presence, and cryptic lyrics. Mike Mills' melodic bass lines and backing vocals, and Berry's tight, economical drumming. In the early 1980s, other alternative rock acts, such as Nirvana, Pixies, and Pavement, named R.E.M. as pioneer of the genre. After Berry left in 1997 due to severe health issues, the remaining members continued with mixed critical and commercial success. The band broke up amicably in 2011, having sold more than 90 million albums worldwide and becoming one of the world's best-selling music acts. The band released their first single, Radio Free Europe, in 1981 on the independent record label Hibtone. It was followed by the Chronic Town EP in 1982. Their first release on IRS Records. Over the course of the decade, R.E.M. released acclaimed albums, commencing with their debut Murmur, 1983, and continuing yearly with Reckoning, 1984, Fables of the Reconstruction, 1985, Life's Rich Pageant, 1986, Document, 1987, and Green, 1988. During their most successful period, they worked with the producer Scott Litt. With constant touring and the support of college radio following years of underground success, R.E.M. achieved a mainstream hit with the 1987 single, The One I Love. They signed to Warner Brothers Records in 1988 and began to espouse political and environmental concerns while playing arenas worldwide. R.E.M.'s most commercially successful albums, Out of Time, 1991, and Automatic for the People, 1992, put them in the vanguard of alternative rock as it was becoming mainstream. Out of Time received 7 nominations at the 34th Annual Grammy Awards. And the lead single, Losing My Religion, was R.E.M.'s highest charting and best-selling hit. Monster, 1994, continued its run of success. The band began its first tour in 6 years to support the album. The tour was marred by medical emergencies suffered by 3 of the band members. In 1996, R.E.M. re-signed with Warner Brothers for a reported US $80 million. At the time, the most expensive recording contract ever. The tour was productive, and the band recorded the following album mostly during sound checks. The resulting record, New Adventures in Hi-Fi, 1996, is hailed as the band's last great album and the members' favorite, growing in cult status over the years. Barry left the band the following year for health reasons, and Stipe, Buck, and Mills continued as a musical trio, supplemented by studio and live musicians, such as the multi-instrumentalist Scott McCoy and Ken Stringfellow, and the drummers Joey Warrenker and Bill Rifflin. They also parted ways with their longtime manager Jefferson Holt, at which point the band's attorney Burtis Downs assumed managerial duties. Seeking to also renovate their sound, the band stopped working with Lit and hired as co-producer Pat McCarthy, who had worked as mixer and engineer on the band's previous 2 albums. After the electronic experimental direction of Up, 1998, which was commercially unsuccessful, Reveal, 2001, referred to as a conscious return to their classic sound, received general acclaim. In 2007, the band was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in its first year of eligibility. Barry reunited with the band for the ceremony and to record a cover of John Lennon's Number 9 Dream for the 2007 compilation album, Instant Karma, Amnesty International Campaign to Save Darfur, to benefit the Amnesty International's campaign to alleviate the Darfur conflict. Looking for a change of sound after lukewarm reception for Around the Sun, 2004. The band collaborated with the producer Jackknife Lee on their final 2 studio albums, the well-received Accelerate, 2008, and Collapse Into Now, 2011. In 2024, the band reunited to perform Losing My Religion at their induction into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and once again in 2025 to perform Pretty Persuasion at the 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia. History, 1980 to 1982. Formation and first releases. In January 1980, Peter Buck met Michael Stipe in Wuxtry Records, the Athens record store where Buck worked. The pair discovered that they shared similar tastes in music, particularly in punk rock and proto-punk artists like Patti Smith, Television, and the Velvet Underground. Stipe said, "It turns out that I was buying all the records that Buck was saving for himself." Through mutual friend Kathleen O'Brien, Stipe and Buck then met fellow University of Georgia students Bill Berry and Mike Mills, who had played music together since high school and had lived together in Macon, Georgia. The quartet agreed to collaborate on several songs. Stipe later commented that there was never any grand plan behind any of it. Their still unnamed band spent a few months rehearsing in the deconsecrated St. Mary's Episcopal Church on Oconee Street in Athens. I remember our very first practice, recalled Mills in 2024. Bill and I had some stuff left over from our band in Macon. We showed it to Peter and Michael, and they took it to places, even that very first night, that I didn't expect. I thought, this works for me. He continued, Bill and I had a bunch of songs from a band we were in Macon, and we showed Peter and Michael those songs. Peter was playing arpeggiated stuff. Nobody plays that. And Michael, the voice was there, and he did some fun things with the melodies. I thought, these guys are bringing something to the game. They fleshed out their performances at their rehearsal space on Jackson Street in Athens. They played their first show on April 5th, 1980, who were supported by the Side Effects at O'Brien's birthday party held in the same church, performing a mix of originals and 1960s and 1970s covers. After considering names such as Cans of Piss, Negro Eyes, and Twisted Kites, the band settled on REM, which Stipe selected at random from a dictionary. REM is well known as an abbreviation for Rapid Eye Movement, the dream stage of sleep. However, sleep researcher Rafael Pelayo reports that when his colleague William Dement, the sleep scientist who coined the term REM, reached out to the band, Dement was told that the band was named not after REM sleep. The band members eventually dropped out of school to focus on their developing group. They found a manager in Jefferson Holt, a record store clerk who was so impressed by an REM performance in his hometown of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, that he moved to Athens. REM's success was almost immediate in Athens and surrounding areas. The band grew progressively larger crowds for shows, which caused some resentment in the Athens music scene. Over the next year and a half, REM toured throughout the southern United States. Touring was arduous because a touring circuit for alternative rock bands did not exist then. The group toured in an old blue van driven by Holt and any band member except Stipe, and lived on a food allowance of $2 each day. During April 1981, REM recorded their first single, Radio Free Europe, at producer Mitch Easter's drive-in studio in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, after a recommendation by Peter Holzapfel. Initially distributing it as a four-track demo tape to clubs, record labels, and magazines, the single was released in July 1981 on the local independent record label Hibtone, with an initial pressing of 1,000 copies. 600 of which were sent out as promotional copies. The single quickly sold out, and another 6,000 copies were pressed due to popular demand, despite the original pressing leaving off the record label's contact details. Despite its limited pressing, the single garnered critical acclaim and was listed as one of the 10 best singles of the year by the New York Times. REM recorded the Chronic Town EP with Mitch Easter in October 1981 and planned to release it on a new indie label named Dashed Hopes. However, IRS Records acquired a demo of the band's first recording session with Easter that had been circulating for months. The band turned down the advances of major label RCA Records in favor of IRS, with whom they signed a contract in May 1982. IRS released Chronic Town that August as its first American release. A positive review of the EP by NME praised the song's auras of mystery and concluded, REM ring true, and it's great to hear something as unforced and cunning as this. 1982 to 1988. IRS Records and Cult Success. IRS first paired REM with producer Stephen Haig to record their debut album. Haig's emphasis on technical perfection left the band unsatisfied, and the band members asked the label to let them record with Easter. IRS agreed to a tryout session, allowing the band to return to North Carolina and record the song Pilgrimage with Easter and producing partner Don Dixon. After hearing the track, IRS permitted the group to record the album with Dixon and Easter. Because of their bad experience with Haig, the band recorded the album via a process of negation, refusing to incorporate rock music cliches such as guitar solos or then-popular synthesizers, in order to give its music a timeless feel. The completed album, Murmur, was greeted with critical acclaim upon its release in 1983, with Rolling Stone listing the album as its record of the year. The album reached number 36 on the Billboard album chart. A re-recorded version of Radio Free Europe was the album's lead single and reached number 78 on the Billboard singles chart in 1983. Despite the acclaim awarded the album, Murmur sold only about 200,000 copies, which IRS's Jay Boberg felt was below expectations. REM made their first national television appearance on Late Night with David Letterman in October 1983, during which the group performed a new, unnamed song. The piece, eventually titled South Central Rain, I'm Sorry, became the first single from the band's second album, Reckoning, 1984, which was also recorded with Easter and Dixon. The album met with critical acclaim. NME's Matt Snow wrote that Reckoning confirms REM as one of the most beautifully exciting groups on the planet. While Reckoning peaked at number 27 on the U.S. album charts, an unusually high chart placing for a college rock band at the time, scant airplay and poor distribution overseas resulted in it charting no higher than number 91 in Britain. The band's third album, Fables of the Reconstruction, 1985, demonstrated a change in direction. Instead of Dixon and Easter, REM chose producer Joe Boyd, who had worked with Fairport Convention and Nick Drake, to record the album in England. The band members found the sessions unexpectedly difficult and were miserable due to the cold winter weather and what they considered to be poor food. The situation brought the band to the verge of breakup. The gloominess surrounding the sessions worked its way into the context for the album's themes. Lyrically, Stipe began to create storylines in the mode of Southern mythology, noting in a 1985 interview that he was inspired by the whole idea of old men sitting around the fire, passing on legends and fables to the grandchildren. They toured Canada in July and August 1985, and Europe in October of that year, including the Netherlands, England, including one concert at London's Hammersmith Palais, Ireland, Scotland, France, Switzerland, Belgium, and West Germany. On October 2, 1985, the group played a concert in Bochum, West Germany for the German TV show Rockpalast. Stipe had bleached his hair blonde during this time. REM invited California punk band Minutemen to open for them on part of the U.S. tour and organized a benefit for the family of Minutemen frontman Dee Boone, who died in a December 1985 car crash shortly after the tour's conclusion. Fables of the Reconstruction performed poorly in Europe, and its critical reception was mixed, with some critics regarding it as dreary and poorly recorded. As with the previous records, the singles from Fables of the Reconstruction were mostly ignored by mainstream radio. Meanwhile, IRS was becoming frustrated with the band's reluctance to achieve mainstream success. For their fourth album, REM enlisted John Mellencamp's producer Don Gaiman. The album, entitled Life's Rich Pageant, 1986, featured Stipe's vocals closer to the forefront of the music. In a 1986 interview with the Chicago Tribune, Peter Buck related, "Michael is getting better at what he's doing, and he's getting more confident at it. And I think that shows up in the projection of his voice." The album improved markedly upon the sales of Fables of the Reconstruction and reached number 21 on the Billboard album chart. The single, Fall on Me, also picked up support on commercial radio. The album was the band's first to be certified gold for selling 500,000 copies. While American college radio remained REM's core support, the band was beginning to chart hits on mainstream rock formats. However, the music still encountered resistance from top 40 radio. Following the success of Life's Rich Pageant, IRS issued Dead Letter Office, a compilation of tracks recorded by the band during their album sessions, many of which had either been issued as B-sides or left unreleased altogether. Shortly thereafter, IRS compiled REM's music video catalog, except Wolves Lower, as the band's first video release, Succumbs. Don Gaiman was unable to produce REM's fifth album, so he suggested the group work with Scott Litt. Litt would be the producer for the band's next five albums. Document, 1987, featured some of Stipe's most openly political lyrics, particularly on Welcome to the Occupation and Exhuming McCarthy, which were reactions to the conservative political environment of the 1980s under American President Ronald Reagan. John Pareles of the New York Times wrote in his review of the album, "Document is both confident and defiant. If REM is about to move from cult-based status to mass popularity, the album decrees that the band will get there on its own terms." Document was REM's breakthrough album, and the first single, The One I Love, charted in the top 20 in the US, UK, and Canada. By January 1988, Document had become the group's first album to sell 1 million copies. In light of the band's breakthrough, the December 1987 cover of Rolling Stone declared REM America's best rock and roll band. 1988-1997. International breakthrough in alternative rock stardom. Frustrated that its records did not see satisfactory overseas distribution, REM left IRS when its contract expired and signed with the major label Warner Brothers Records. Though other labels offered more money, REM ultimately signed with Warner Brothers, reportedly for an amount between $6 million and $12 million US, due to the company's assurance of total creative freedom. Jay Boberg claimed that REM's deal with Warner Brothers was for $22 million, which Peter Buck disputed as definitely wrong. In the aftermath of the group's departure, IRS released the 1988 Best Of compilation, Eponymous, assembled with input from the band members to capitalize on assets the company still possessed. The band's first album from Warner Brothers, Green, 1988, was recorded in Memphis, Tennessee, and showcased the group experimenting with its sound. The record's tracks ranged from the upbeat first single, Stand, a hit in the United States, to more political material like the rock-oriented Orange Crush and World Leader Pretend, which addressed the Vietnam War and the Cold War, respectively. Green has gone on to sell 4 million copies worldwide. The band supported the album with their biggest and most visually developed tour to date, featuring back projections and art films playing on the stage. After the Green World Tour, the band members unofficially decided to take the following year off, the first extended break in the band's career. In 1990, Warner Brothers issued the music video compilation Pop Screen to collect clips from the Document and Green albums, followed a few months later by the video album Tour Film, featuring live performances filmed during the Green World Tour. REM reconvened in mid-1990 to record their seventh album, Out of Time. In a departure from Green, the band members often wrote the music with non-traditional rock instrumentation, including mandolin, organ, and acoustic guitar, instead of adding them as overdubs later in the creative process. Released in March 1991, Out of Time was the band's first album to top both the US and UK charts. The record eventually sold 4.2 million copies in the U.S. alone, and about 12 million copies worldwide by 1996. The album's lead single, Losing My Religion, was a worldwide hit that received heavy rotation on radio, as did the music video on MTV and VH1. Losing My Religion was also REM's highest charting single in the U.S., reaching number 4 on the Billboard charts. There have been very few life-changing events in our career because our career has been so gradual, Mills said years later. In 2024, he added, if we sold 10 million of our first record, I doubt any of us would be alive right now. Regarding a pivotal moment, he said, if you want to talk about life-changing, I think losing my religion is the closest it gets. The album's second single, Shiny Happy People, one of three songs on the record to feature vocals from Kate Pearson of fellow Athens band, the B-52s, was also a major hit, reaching number 10 in the U.S. and number 6 in the U.K. Out of Time garnered REM 7 nominations at the 1992 Grammy Awards, the most nominations of any artist that year. The band won 3 awards, one for Best Alternative Music Album and 2 for Losing My Religion, Best Short Form Music Video, and Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal. REM did not tour to promote Out of Time. Instead, the band played a series of shows, including an appearance taped for an episode of MTV Unplugged, and released music videos for each song on the video album, This Film Is On. The band also performed Losing My Religion with members of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra at Madison Morgan Cultural Center in Madison, Georgia, as part of MTV's 10th anniversary special. After spending some months off, REM returned to the studio in 1991 to record their next album. In late 1992, the band released Automatic for the People. Even though the group had intended to make a harder rocking album after the softer textures of Out of Time, the somber Automatic for the People seemed to move at an even more agonized crawl, according to Melody Maker. The album dealt with themes of loss and mourning inspired by that sense of turning 30, according to Buck. Several songs featured string arrangements by former Led Zeppelin bassist John Paul Jones. Considered by a number of critics, as well as by Buck and Mills, to be the band's best album, Automatic for the People reached numbers 1 and 2 on UK and US charts, respectively, and generated the American Top 40 hit singles Drive, Man on the Moon, and Everybody Hurts. The album would sell over 15 million copies worldwide. As with Out of Time, there was no tour in support of the album. After the band released 2 slow-paced albums in a row, REM's 1994 album Monster was, as Buck said, a rock record, with the rock in quotation marks. In contrast to the sound of its predecessors, the music of Monster consisted of distorted guitar tones, minimal overdubs, and touches of 1970s glam rock. Like Out of Time, Monster topped the charts in both the US and UK. The record sold about 9 million copies worldwide. The singles, What's the Frequency, Kenneth, and Bang and Blame were the band's last American Top 40 hits, although the singles from Monster reached the top 30 on the British charts. Warner Brothers assembled the music videos from the album as well as those from Automatic for the People for release as Parallel in 1995. In January 1995, REM set out on its first tour in 6 years. The tour was a huge commercial success, but the period was difficult for the group. On March 1, Barry collapsed on stage during a performance in Lausanne, Switzerland, having suffered a brain aneurysm. He had surgery immediately and recovered fully within a month. Barry's aneurysm was only the beginning of a series of health problems that plagued the Monster tour. Mills had to undergo abdominal surgery to remove an intestinal adhesion in July. A month later, Stipe had to have an emergency surgery to repair a hernia. Despite all the problems, the group had recorded the bulk of a new album while on the road. The band brought along 8-track recorders to capture its shows and used the recordings as the bass elements for the album. The final 3 performances of the tour were filmed at the Omni Coliseum in Atlanta, Georgia, and released in home video form as Road Movie. REM re-signed with Warner Brothers Records in 1996 for a reported $80 million, a figure the band constantly asserted originated with the media, rumored to be the largest recording contract in history at that point. The group's 1996 album, New Adventures in Hi-Fi, debuted at number 2 in the US and number 1 in the UK. The 5 million copies of the album sold were a reversal of the group's commercial fortunes of the previous 5 years. Critical reaction to the album was mostly favorable. In a 2017 retrospective of the band, Consequence of Sound ranked it 3rd out of REM's 15 full-length studio albums. The album is Snipes' favorite from REM, and he considers it the band at their peak. Mills says, "It usually takes a good few years for me to decide where an album stands in the pantheon of recorded work we've done. This one may be 3rd behind Murmur and Automatic for the People." According to Discover Music, arguably less immediate and less accessible, New Adventures in Hi-Fi is a sprawling, white album-esque affair clocking in at 65 minutes. However, it required some time and commitment from the listener. The record's contents were rich, compelling, and frequently stunning. Accordingly, the band has continued to lobby for recognition and has long since earned its reputation as REM's most unsung LP. While sales were impressive, they were below their previous major label records. Times writer Christopher John Farley argued that the lesser sales of the album were due to the declining commercial power of alternative rock as a whole. That same year, REM parted ways with manager Jefferson Holt, allegedly due to sexual harassment charges levied against him by a member of the band's home office in Athens. The group's lawyer, Curtis Downs, assumed managerial duties. 1997 through 2006, continuing as a three-piece with mixed success. In April 1997, the band convened at Buck's Kauai vacation home to record demos of material intended for the next album. The band sought to reinvent its sound and intended to incorporate drum loops and percussion experiments. Just as the sessions were due to begin in October, Barry decided, after months of contemplation and discussion with Downs and Mills, to tell the rest of the band that he was quitting. Barry told his bandmates that he would not quit if they would break up as a result, so Stipe, Buck, and Mills agreed to carry on as a three-piece with his blessing. Barry publicly announced his departure 3 weeks later in October 1997. Barry told the press, "I'm just not as enthusiastic as I have been in the past about doing this anymore. I have the best job in the world, but I'm kind of ready to sit back and reflect and maybe not be a pop star anymore." Stipe admitted that the band would be different without a major contributor. "For me, Mike, and Peter, as REM, are we still REM? I guess a three-legged dog is still a dog. It just has to learn to run differently." The band canceled their scheduled recording sessions as a result of Barry's departure. "Without Bill, it was different, confusing," Mills said later. "We didn't know exactly what to do. We couldn't rehearse without a drummer." The remaining members of REM resumed work on the album in February 1998 at Toast Studios in San Francisco. The band ended their decade-long collaboration with Scott Litt and hired Pat McCarthy to produce the record. Nigel Godrich was taken on as assistant producer and drafted in Screaming Trees member Barrett Martin and Beck's touring drummer Joey Waronker. The recording process was tense, and the group came close to disbanding. Curtis Downs called an emergency meeting in which the band members resolved their problems and agreed to continue as a group. Led by the single Day Sleeper, Up, 1998, debuted in the top 10 in the US and UK. However, the album was a relative failure, selling 900,000 copies in the US by mid-1999 and eventually selling just over 2 million copies worldwide. While REM's American sales were declining, the group's commercial base was shifting to the UK, where more REM records were sold per capita than any other country, and the band's singles regularly entered the top 20. A year after Up's release, REM wrote the instrumental score to the Andy Kaufman biographical film Man on the Moon, a first for the group. The film took its title from the Automat for the People song of the same name. The song, The Great Beyond, was released as a single from the Man on the Moon soundtrack album. The Great Beyond only reached number 57 on the American pop charts, but was the band's highest charting single ever in the UK, reaching number 3 in 2000. This episode of Sleep with Rockstars was recorded May 14 through 16, 2025. From the Wikipedia article about REM, which can be found at wikipedia.org/wiki/r.e.m.